title of my talk this morning. I feel like the warm-up has already taken place. This morning I want to talk about not losing heart. Don't lose heart. So to help me remember it, I've got five fingers. Probably most of you have got five on each hand. And just to help me remember what I'm talking about, I allocate a word to each finger. We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Just looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and so if you can just turn to that, but I'd like to commence by reading 2 Corinthians 3:18, because we've already focused on that in our service so far. And that says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And then we come to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, and the verse commences with the word "therefore." And we've said it before, we'll probably say it again. When you see the word "therefore," you have to look closely to see what it's there for. And it's there for what went before, that when we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. Naomi already spoke to us about a mirror this morning, and that's what this speaks about. We look as it were in a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, and we are changed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Say it with me. We do not lose heart. Let's say it again. We do not lose heart. Going on to verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." And then going to verse 16, and again we have it reiterated. "Therefore we do not lose heart." Let's say it again. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at which the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We are told in Proverbs 4:23 to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts spring the issues of life. We are not simply talking about our physical hearts. For the purposes of our talk today, when we look at hearts, we are talking about mind, will, and emotions. We protect those, we look after them. We've had pictures brought to us this morning about hearts that are dry, hearts that are cracked, hearts that have given up, hearts that are wondering, what is in life for me? And this morning I want to remind us all that we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart, because the things that are for us are greater than the things that seem to be against us. So we are told very clearly in Scripture, protect, look after, value your heart. It's not an incidental thing. Why isn't it incidental? Because out of it flow the issues of life. If the issues of life flow out of it, your heart is really important. I need to tell you that this morning, your heart is not a plug-in optional extra. It's not an accessory that you get as part of having a life. Your heart is the very center of your life. Out of your heart flows and issues everything about your life. The enemy wants us to lose heart. If he can cause us to lose heart, he robs us and at best causes us to be ineffective and at worst causes us to lose everything associated with life. We read in Daniel chapter 7, 25, talking about our enemy, the destroyer, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. One of the ways in which he wears out the saints of the Most High is causing them to be downhearted to the point that they lose heart. They get so taken up with the things that are around them that are pulling them down that they lose heart. In other words, their courage goes and everything associated with the issues of life that flow out from them that bring wholeness and health and peace and life and all of those good things from heaven, that spring, that wellspring in their heart dries up and they lose heart. And the enemy wants us to lose heart. If he wants us to lose heart, we have to make sure we do not lose heart. Because if he's after our hearts, guess what? Our hearts are really, really important. They are not an add-on. They are not something that we can have a life and then see how our hearts go. We live our life out of our hearts. So it's important that we look today at what the enemy wants to do so we make sure we don't give him any advantages. We know what his tactics are. They haven't ever changed and they won't ever change. John 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come," Jesus speaking, "that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." He wants to steal, to kill, to destroy everything that is in our hearts, but through that, God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to have an abundant life that comes out of an abundant heart. And we can't have an abundant heart if we've lost it. If we've lost heart. I've been challenged by this portion of scripture, you know it well, from Matthew 13. Jesus speaking a parable, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go then and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow up together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" We live in a time where wheat and tares are growing up together. And the Lord of the harvest has said, it's okay. It's okay. The Lord of the harvest did not sow the tares. We know clearly from this scripture, the enemy has done this. The bad stuff around, let us not in any way be tempted to attribute it to a good God from heaven. The bad things that we see around us happening and taking place, the enemy has done this. It's his work. His work is bad. His work is evil. His work doesn't bring prosperity, but has been enacted to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the reasons the enemy sowed the tares was so the servants would go and do that very thing and go and start to pull the tares up out of the ground, and as they did, actually destroy wheat with it. Sometimes we can be so taken up with the tares, with the bad stuff around us, with the circumstances that are not as they should be, with the things that are not wheat but tares, that we can get taken up with just identifying the tares and so pulling them up that our whole life becomes given over to just pulling stuff up. Just pulling stuff up, identifying, you know, there's a problem here and there's a problem there and there's a problem there, and the enemy will even use this to cause us to lose heart. Because everywhere we look, there's just tares everywhere. And Jesus said, no, there isn't. There's wheat growing up with the tares. You'll find people who just talk about the darkness. Is there darkness around us? There is thick darkness, there is gross darkness, but the light is shining brightly amidst the darkness. And sometimes you can so focus on the darkness, just as you can focus on the tares, that the enemy will cause you to lose heart just because you're seeing the darkness coming to you. I get a stream of, look, it's news and it's right and it's proper, but a string of emails coming to me telling me about all of the bad stuff that's happening around the world. And it's true, there is bad stuff. But I wish I got more emails about the good stuff that is happening around the world. Because the good stuff is overcoming the darkness, just as light always overcomes the darkness. What's going to happen to the tares? We're told very clearly what is going to happen to the tares. The Father in heaven is not intimidated. I've got to tell you this morning. He is not intimidated in the slightest about the tares, because he has plans for them. He knows the end of those things, just as he knows the end for the wheat as well. I've got to tell you, the tares bet to enjoy their day because they've got a lifespan. The wheat is eternal. The tares have a day of judgment coming to them. All of those things that are not of God, everything that is of him, from him, for him, through him, and to him is eternal because he's an eternal God. And so we praise him, even though we see things about us that could cause us to lose heart. We do not lose heart. Jesus said one of the ways in which we don't lose heart is by praying. He said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So prayer is really important, but I'm not focusing on that today. The Apostle Paul said we can lose heart through weariness. He said, don't let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You can lose heart just by getting really, really tired. Really tired. And that can bring about loss of heart just because you've got tired. This advice is free. I'm giving you advice in my talk this morning. If you're getting really tired, go to bed earlier. I'll give you that for nothing. That's just out there. Just go to bed earlier. That's a good idea. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Just go to bed early. Get more sleep. But the Apostle Paul said we can lose heart through great trouble or suffering. If you have not experienced trouble or suffering, you can stop listening to this talk now. But if you've been touched by it, and I reckon all of you have in one measure or another, and we don't seek to compare that in any way, because to compare it would be foolishness, but we have all been touched by great trouble or suffering. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3:13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Even people looking at Paul and losing heart because of the stuff that the Apostle Paul went through, and going, if that's the way of the Christian life, do I really want to be involved in that? Do I really want to engage with that? And the answer is a resounding yes, because we do not lose heart. even the psalmist was not immune to great troubles and sufferings. And he said in Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just in eternity, but here. Here now, I just want to encourage you, really want to encourage you right now in the middle of your circumstances, whatever they are. And please hear me. Close as anybody is to you, they do not know what you are going through. We might compare it and say, oh, what so-and-so is going through, that's way bigger than what you're going through. We don't know that. But there is one who does. He knows what you are going through this morning, what you are going through. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you are going through. And you. He's acquainted with it, and his desire is to bring goodness to us amidst trials and troubles and situations that would cause us to lose heart. But he does not want us to lose heart. In Psalm 25, the psalmist David says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. When we detect in ourselves something happening to our heart that isn't advantageous, something that isn't good, I just want to encourage you, something happens for good when we lift up our soul to the Lord. I speak to my soul, because at times I'll wake up in the morning with the list of all the things I need to do and all of the things I haven't done. And I go through the list, and first thing in the morning I see the list with incredible clarity, but it doesn't do my soul any good. And so I lift my soul to the Lord. And I tell the Lord who he is to my soul. And I encourage my soul to receive who he is. And I don't know how it happens, but things change. And where I was losing heart, I'm regaining heart. My heart is getting stronger. My heart is getting courage. My heart begins to beat instead of for the circumstances and situations and trials and tribulations. My heart begins to beat for the one who made it, redeemed it, possessed it, and indwells it. And I find something begins to change. Because when we are getting low, we need to get higher. The psalmist says, I lift up my soul. As I thought about this, I thought about Noah, and he was asked to build an ark because the deluge was coming upon the earth. And the very thing that took the lives of all of the inhabitants of the earth except Noah and his family caused him to be lifted up. And in that lifting up was his salvation. A picture of all of those of us who are in Jesus Christ. I was also impressed that the dove was with them in the ark. The dove's with you in the ark. Even as the circumstances threaten to swamp you and you get lifted up on those circumstances, the dove is with you. The psalmist said, from the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher. Any of you ever in Boys Brigade? It was just me. I was in Boys Brigade. A few of you were. The theme song, the theme hymn from Boys Brigade was, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" And the chorus goes, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move." And I just love this bit. "Grounded, firm and deep in the Saviour's love." In His love. His love is a rock-like love. It doesn't move. It doesn't shift. It doesn't change. It doesn't alter. It is a rock-like love that we can be lifted to again and again and again. I don't go through a day going to the end of the day, "Oh, that's right, I lifted up my soul at about 9:30 a.m. this morning." I walk through my days fastened to that rock because my heart needs the security of the love of that rock. My heart needs to be secured to that love, because if it's not, I will quickly lose heart. We're encouraged that as we wait on the Lord, we so are changed that we mount up with wings as eagles. And I know for a number of you that was taking place this morning as we were singing, as we were worshiping together. You were being taken up into those heights. David shared with us this morning about flying. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." This is the hallmark of those who have not lost heart. 2 Corinthians 12:10, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And a literal translation of that is this: "Therefore, I take pleasure in being without strength, in insults, in being pinched, in being chased about, in being cooped up in a corner for Christ's sake. For when I am without strength, then I am dynamite." When I'm without strength, then I'm dynamite. Look out if you find me without strength, because I might just explode. Then I'm dynamite. Sometimes we can get addicted to sympathy, can't we? The best parties I've ever thrown are pity parties. I've got an affinity. My old nature has, in fact, got an affinity for throwing pity parties, because the good thing about a pity party is I'm the center of attention. It's all about me. And people can come along to my pity party and tell me why it is that I should just be like I am. But you know what? That will steal my heart away. That will cause me to lose heart. So I stop asking for sympathy, and I wonder whether I've been put in hothouse conditions. And I know in my life the Lord has allowed me to be put in hothouse conditions. He hasn't brought the circumstances, but He has allowed them for Paul to be put in the hothouse. The Lord does not allow me to be put there so He can destroy me. He wants to grow the new me, and in the hothouse, hopefully, kill off some of the old me. Hothouse conditions provide an environment that encourages rapid development. Hothouse conditions also provide an environment where there is great pressure. The two often go together. I don't know, it might be different for you, but in my life, the times of growth that have taken place most readily have taken place amidst hothouse conditions. Difficulties, pressure, stresses, going, I don't know what to do. Do I do this or do I do that? And I find that in those situations, as I've cried out to the Lord, as I've lifted up my soul to Him and said, without You, I've lost hope, but I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I believe that something happens, and I didn't bring it about. That's the good thing. I didn't do it. The Spirit working in me brought forth the good things of the Spirit. Sympathy does not bring success, but success can certainly come from stress. The Apostle Paul said the light affliction is actually working for us. So if you're surrounded by affliction, you can actually say to the affliction, you're working for me today. I'm in charge of you. Thank you for showing up. I'm so glad you've come today. I'll put you to work for me today. Because you, light affliction, are working out in me a great glory. Thank you, light affliction, for turning up today. I'm so glad you're here. Because you're working for me. So that every day we can say, you know, I've had a good day today. Light affliction showed up today and I put him to work. And he worked really well for me today. Because scripture says that light affliction is working but for a moment, but working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm just going to move quickly on. Romans 8:28, you know this. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We have, as Hebrews tells us, a compassionate high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with all our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in time of need right now? You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Are you in time of need where you're sensing, my heart is hard, I've lost something from it? You can come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. And you can find mercy and grace to help in time of need, because we are not here to lose heart. We are here because we do not lose heart. Because all of these things are set up for us to succeed. I was thinking this week about God's calendar. And boy, it's a strange calendar. He seems to do the oddest things at the wrong time. You know, He brought Moses forth to bring back and rescue the children of Israel. And so he makes sure Moses is born at a time when they are killing babies. Why would He do that? Why would he make sure Moses was going to be born right at that time when they were killing babies? I seem to recall the same thing was happening when Jesus was born. They were killing babies. There are many reasons for this, because God is God. But God delights to show to the enemy that He can do His absolute worst, and God will take the enemy's absolute worst and use it for His advantage. We could go from person after person in this place and find where the enemy has come to you to rob, steal, and destroy. When you have been raised up, as Moses was, at a time where you feel like, I've been raised up for this, and then the enemy starts to kill. And you go, well, it must have been the wrong thing at the wrong time. God says, I can turn around death and bring it forth as life. This is the God who stood at the tomb of Lazarus. And Lazarus is dead. We know that because his very pragmatic sister said, God, Jesus, he's going to stink. If we bring him out, he's stinking. He's that dead. And in the face of everything dead and negative, Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And he can speak to your situations this morning where something in your heart has died and you've given up, and he's standing there saying, come out. Come out. This is not death. This is life. Life and more life. What happens as we respond to heaven? What takes place as we, in spite of the situations, the circumstances, the tribulations, the trials, the afflictions, what happens when, contrary to all of those things, we say, I say what heaven says? What happens when we will dare to stand up, even in our weakness, and say, I say what he says about my life? I declare what he says over this planet. I declare what he says over my situation. I will not let circumstances tell me, this is the declaration over your life. This is the declaration over your heart. This is the declaration over your marriage and over your family and over your children. I will stand up and declare what heaven declares over my family and my situation. Just as I finish up, we're going to look briefly at the death of Stephen, the first martyr, just looking at Acts chapter 7. When the council members heard Stephen's speech, they were angry and furious, but Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked toward heaven, where he saw our glorious God and Jesus standing at his right side. Then Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God. The council members shouted and covered their ears. At once they all attacked Stephen and dragged him out of the city. Then they started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as Stephen was being stoned to death, he called out, Lord Jesus, please welcome me. He knelt down and shouted, Lord, don't blame them for what they have done. Then he died. As this man had stones being hurled at him that were designed not to chase him away, but each stone was designed to kill him. It was hurled with enough ferocity so that it would kill him. And he took his eyes from the stone throwers long enough to look up into heaven. And what he saw in heaven was absolutely astonishing. The Son of God, Jesus, who is seated at the Father's right hand, was standing. When we will declare above and beyond our circumstances, when we will declare above and beyond every stone that hits us to bring us down and to cause us to lose heart, when we will declare above those what heaven declares over our life, situation, and circumstances, heaven stands with us. When you will stand for heaven, heaven will stand for you. Heaven stood for this man because he stood for heaven. When you will stand and affirm the truth over your life, heaven stands behind you. Everything that heaven stands for stands with you. Therefore, we don't become downcast. Therefore, we don't allow situations and circumstances to rob from us. Therefore, we don't let what other people say about us take away from us. We don't allow our past to hinder us. We don't allow the things that we see may be coming up in the future to prevent us from being all that we can do, because we declare over our lives, and I declare over your life today, everything that heaven says for you. Lord, cause them to receive it in Jesus' name. caused this company of people to receive everything that heaven has declared over them. Cause them to receive it in Jesus' name, everything that heaven declares over them. And as we receive those things that heaven declares over us, heaven stands and we say, therefore, we do not lose heart. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We declare that you are the God who is our maker, who is our help, who is our redeemer, is the one who was and is to come. You are the lover of our soul. You're the one that we can anchor to, and we don't just find a rock. We find the King of Love. We are anchored to the King of Love, who never changes. I thank you that your intentions for us today are good. They are kind. Everything about you is for our good. Everything about you is for goodness and health and life and peace and prosperity on every front. And so I declare that over this place today. Lord, as it were, we see the stones coming and we receive, instead of stones, we receive blessings. Blessings to our heart. Lord, every stone that comes to us to destroy us, we see an opportunity for growth and we receive it from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.